I'm Ernesto Garcia, and welcome to Let's Talk Las Cruces, a division of Mesilla Valley News, where we get to be here every Thursday at Little Toad Creek and Brewery. Now, something new that we're trying out here for today is that we're actually broadcasting out as well on Facebook Live as well. Something new we're trying, so we kind of caught Carol a little bit off guard there, but that's all right, Carol.
They didn't tell me.
You're over there right there.
I didn't do my hair.
There you go. So, but makeup. It's also going to be up as well for our Mesilla Valley News Sports podcast as well. Little Toad Creek and Brewery. Now, we're about an hour away from one of the best happy hours in town. You've got the kitchen open. Everything is ready to go, so you've got everything to serve, everything you need, lots of celebrations. And you know what? Come election night, I think some candidates need to find a way to make themselves over here at home and celebrate a win if they get it that way.
Oh, absolutely. Come on in and celebrate with a cocktail or a beer, have a sandwich, a salad. Make yourself at home, definitely.
And also, for those that are going to be out of the Las Cruces Country Music Festival and you want to keep the party going, you'll be open a little bit later on Friday and Saturdays too,
yes.
Am I correct?
Yes, yeah. We're open till 1 a.m. on Friday, Saturday nights. Usually we close at 11 o'clock the rest of the week. So if you feel like you need to stop by a little bit later, we're here.
All right. Well, tell us, what are some of the specials and that's going to be coming up this weekend, and also what some events are coming up?
Well, always we have $4 Little Toad Pints for happy hour, 3 to 6. That's every day. Coming up, we've got a lot of stuff going on. And, of course, as you guys know, the Country Music Festival starts tomorrow. We're going to participate in that along with a lot of the other breweries and a couple of wineries here in town. We get to share the space with some fantastic other breweries and wineries and such. So we're looking forward to that. And then next weekend will be a really fun weekend for us. It's going to be our Oktoberfest. You know, we're little toads here, so we invite all the toadies to come out. And the Oktoberfest is going to run from 3 to 10 o'clock. We're going to have live music out there, fun and games, you know, drinks and food and costumes. You don't have to come in a costume or so if you don't want to.
I'd love to.
But the staff will be dressed in their, you know, finest German costumes just for fun. And it's going to be a blast. We're going to have some hammer schlagging games out there and keg tossing and cornhole. Just having a good old time.
Well, I'll tell you what, Carol, I always appreciate it. 119 North Main Street, like I said, a great happy hour that happens every day, 3 to 6. You got a kitchen staff that works really hard, a lot of great food. And I tell you what, the salmon sandwich is one of my favorites. The Reuben's also been something that I've heard a lot of raves about. And, of course, you know, everyone's been saying, when's the food going to be here? When's the food going to be here? Well, the kitchen's open.
And it's finally here.
It's finally here.
And by the way, all of those sauces are made home fresh here in-house. So that mayo, we know every ingredient that goes in it because it's made here. And so that lemon basil mayo, the red chili mayo, our Thousand Island dressing, all made from that as the base. So,
all righty.
Good stuff.
Well, we're gonna pause on Facebook in a second. We're going to welcome our first guest. We're also going to get a word from our friends over at American Document Services who welcome our guests on Let's Talk Las Cruces. We'll be welcoming former mayor of Las Cruces, Bill Matisse, who's now running again to be mayor. And, of course, he'll be having his campaign running, and we're glad that he's getting a chance to join us. So we'll be talking with him shortly, and as I can wait to ask him, he's going to be happy with everything he's seen in the downtown because he was there when all this was getting set up ready to go. So he's happy to see small businesses doing very well here too.
Oh, I'm so glad. We're really lucky to have him here.
All right, we'll be talking with Bill Matisse coming up in just a bit on Let's Talk Las Cruces. We're pausing on Facebook, and we'll continue more coming up soon.
I'm Ernesto Garcia, and I'm speaking with April Tate, who works over at American Document Services. Let's see, not that long ago, I had my ex-mother-in-law come into town. She helped clean out a garage. She went over to your place, got it all shredded, took care of it in less than 20 minutes at best, which is super fast. But I hear it's even super faster if I want to archive everything in my office desk that I need to get done, important papers, documents. You guys have the perfect way of handling that over there, don't you?
Yes, we do. We have several services we offer. If you're just purging and wanted to get rid of some documents, we have our on-site shred truck we could bring to your location and destroy them on site. We could come and pick them up, bring them back to our location and destroy them. We've even gone to people's storage units and emptied out their storage units for them and, you know, brought those documents back and shredded them. But we also help you go digital. So for individuals that aren't storing paper anymore and have gone digital or in the process of going digital, we can help you do that. And we can do it very quickly. We can come up with a plan, which also includes a payment plan. So, you know, because going digital, some people think it's expensive, but it's because they don't realize what all is involved. So we could also, come up with a plan. So we're only scanning so many documents for you at a time, and then you just pay for those, a monthly fee. We also work with all of our customers, if you want to split the bill up. So, but if you're old school and want to store your documents with us, we have 3 warehouses where we'll store those documents for you. And anytime you want anything, we'll pull that document and deliver it to you. We're very organized. We can pull it in less than a minute.
300 North 17th Street. It's just that simple. A little fee right here to get something done will save you a long time down the road.
Save you a lot of time.
Exactly.
For those people with those little scanners sitting by their desks, that's going to take you a long time.
Yeah, you had the bigger scanners and it gets done really quick. Want me to prove it? Stop on by 300 North 17th Street. What days are you open?
We're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's just that simple, and a phone number to reach if they have any questions.
Area code 575-647-0060.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Las Cruces, a division of Mesilla Valley News, recorded every Thursday over at Little Toad Creek and Brewery. This is a podcast that you'll be able to download online from our Mesilla Valley News audio on demand link through any of our station websites at KGRT.com, Hot103.fm, TheClassicRockStation.com, and Cool1045FM.com. Also, you'll be able to hear the show in the mornings on all the stations that we're on, which includes Classic Rock, Hot 103, and KGRT at 5 o'clock on Sunday morning, and on 6 o'clock Sunday morning on Cool Oldies 104.5 FM and AM 570. As always, our guests are brought to you by our friends over at American Document Services, and we're really welcoming here, and we're experimenting a little bit with the Facebook Live part, so we're a little nervous here, but he's wearing his Bill Will button, and it's been around, and I'm sure you're seeing the advertisement all over. You'll hear it on the radio as well. We want to welcome a former Las Cruces Mayor Bill Matisse. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being a guest here with us here today. And now you're running for mayor again. Yeah. All right. How many times have you run for mayor total so I know how to keep a count on this here?
Let me see. This would be my fourth election for mayor.
Fourth election for mayor.
I won number one, number two, a close number three, and Ken beat me out by, I think,
71 votes.
71 votes.
71
wow.
votes. I remember that.
And then I did 12 years at the New Mexico Border Authority. Mm-hmm. I worked with the State Department, had a state budget, so I'm mm-hmm. familiar with a city budget and a state budget, and I'm also familiar, Ernesto, with what's happening on the border. So I think it was a great insight and great experience to be there for 8 years.
All right, and now you kind of come back and do this. Before we get to that question of why you want to come back and do this, let's get to the sign and everything that we're seeing online. Bill Will. What is Bill Will, so people know?
Yeah, basically there's questions that are being presented. For example, our fire department, I just received their endorsement yesterday from the Firefighters Association. Very proud of that, and I want to thank them. And basically what people have been asking is who's going to get the fire department and the police department back up to second pay. When I became mayor, we were 17th, Ernesto, 17th in compensation for the state of New Mexico. Mm-hmm. We're the second largest city.
Yes.
And we were paid 17th. When I left, we got them to number two. Fire and police were number two. They're now back down to 13 and 11.
Wow.
So when I got the question, who's going to bring us back to the compensation we deserve, I go, Bill Will.
So that's where this came from.
That's where it came from. I will work for that. I believe being the second largest city, there's a lot we have to offer. We probably need to upgrade to a regional conversation about the economy, about keeping and retaining our, and getting new professionals in our city. And Bill will do that too. Bill Will.
Gotcha.
And so I just want to take the local economy and try to grow it with jobs in telemedicine. Mm-hmm. The film industry needs a great deal of expansion. It could use a lot of support from the city. The downtown, I think you mentioned that I'm very proud of the development. But then again, it started almost 20 years ago. And almost 15 years ago, I remember bringing the bulldozers to knock the terrible... What we
the
had
yellow lawn. Brick road, as they
Remember
would like
that?
To call
the
it,
yellow yeah, brick
the
road
yellow brick road in the downtown.
Exactly. So I think I like to see this develop, and I'll support it. And that's where I got Bill Will. Bill Will support downtown development. I'm not happy with El Paseo, all the abandoned buildings on El Paseo, all the empty buildings. the empty buildings on Solano, Telshore, and you go right to the visitor center, Ernesto. You could be at the visitor center and look out the window, and you have an abandoned building with 7 foot high weeds. Mm-hmm. So who will bring back a very clean, prosperous looking city?
That would be Bill Will. There you go. I'm getting it. Okay, now I get how this works. So when it comes to answering the problems or questions, Bill Will.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's get right to before the candidacy election name came out. There had been rumors that you had been thinking about it and been wanting to come back into this. What was the final deciding factor to make your announcement, and why did you do it right on the day where it was, okay, here's where the candidate's last day to file? Because it was really the last thing where people saw your name, and some people were surprised because they didn't know or there wasn't much buzz yet about it. But what brought you to want to come back to be mayor of Las Cruces again?
And why did I wait for the last deadline?
Last second deadline.
Basically, maybe a lack of ego. I thought there was a good, experienced candidates that could lead our city. And then I looked at who has actually been a candidate. And I said, you know what? Maybe my ego was too low. I think I have the experience. I think I have the know-how to actually lead this city into a growing city. But when we say growth, I think I could do it with all the things that people want. In other words, they want a safe city, Ernesto. They want a good-looking city. And, of course, I know I can do a better job with scheduling construction jobs. I mean, no city should have every road with orange barrels. And so I looked at that and I said, you know what? Why didn't the mayor or why didn't someone say, why don't you work on this Valley Drive at midnight till 6 in the morning?
Okay.
And I didn't get any answer. And I said, well, you know what? I'm going to step back in and see if I can control better scheduling of construction jobs, do a better job with cleaning up the city, do a better job with attracting better companies, bigger companies into Las Cruces that pay higher wages. And so my ego came back and my experience will back it up.
Now, usually most candidates take the time to go with family and discuss it. How was the discussion with your family to say, I want to come back and do this?
I actually had a unanimous, you know, the big one was Wanda Matisse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Wanda said, you sure you want to do this, Bill? And I said, yes, I do. Because, wow. You know, my children, my grandchildren go to school here. My grandson goes to Hillrise. My other grandson goes to Centennial. I watched the traffic on Centennial Road. One road in and one road out. It's like that movie Mad Max. Mm-hmm. It's just terrible. And we need other corridors, Ernesto. There's a lot of visions that can be developed. The corridors that can actually alleviate some traffic. Like Missouri should go all the way up. It shouldn't just stop at Telshore. And so there's a lot that could be done to make traffic smoother in this city. And that's basically what I'm going to actually bring forth.
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Bill Matisse. We're talking about his run for campaign for mayor. He wants to be mayor again. You were mayor, it seems not that long ago, but it seems like since then, the person you lost to has been in there for a long time, going on his fourth term. Are you surprised that a mayorship has gone to four terms?
You know, you brought up a good proposal, and I'm going to propose that really term limits for city council should be two.
That would be city councilors and mayor.
Exactly.
In other words, would be the number that you would think would work best for that.
I think two terms would be perfect. In other words, just serve 8 years. I served 5 years.
So two four-year terms just like a president.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And I think that'd be good for the community, and they wouldn't get to be a dictatorship, for example, on this choice voting, this choice ranked voting system that's happening where you rank the voters. That should have been a referendum, Ernesto.
It should have been to the voters to decide if we should have ranked choice, not a city council decision.
Exactly. In other words, that's the people are voting, the people are in charge, but the politicians decided to be in charge on that one. Let's just put this new voting system in place.
Okay, let's get into some of the issues that are going to be discussed and some of the things that need to be brought up. You brought up construction on Valley. That, from what I've been told many times, has been a state project. But what could have the city done with a state project? They had meetings that were set up before. They were supposed to be in there. Not very many of the candidates, and I'm sure I know it's more of a District 4 race part, but you're saying the city somehow could have been involved in this. What could the city have done on this state project? Like you said, if you're talking about working late at night, getting things done, how would the city have accomplished that?
All they have to do is meet with the project manager, the cabinet secretary, head of DOT, and explain to them that we have traffic, we have people wanting to go to work, we have businesses. If we could at least have good access and work done from midnight till 6 in the morning, mm-hmm. that would have made the traffic flow a lot better. And it's just a matter of sitting down with them. You know, we did it with Pete Domenici Highway. I mean, the former cabinet secretary was able to sit at a table. We have 100,000 trucks going northbound. We have 70,000 cars going northbound. And they did all the work under the lights at night. Cooler for the workers, better for our residents getting to and from work. And if you could actually have traffic smoother, then access to those businesses would have been smoother.
Instead of doing it during the day or the phases that they went to and the meetings that we had posted online, people were obviously getting frustrated on it. And one candidate is running specifically because of that race.
Exactly.
All right.
And you have too much construction on what I call main roads. You know, you're shutting down Telshore. You're closing down Main Street. You're making what they call one-laners in other roads in Las Cruces. And at the same time, you have a major construction planned at Valley Drive. Too much all at once.
All right. Let's talk another issue that is concerning to the city, and that would be immigrants that are coming into this area, the Border Patrol letting them to be here. What is your thoughts on how the way the city has responded to that, and what do you think could be done if we get more asylum seekers making their way to Las Cruces and a Brown Armory being redone for that?
You know, I think every candidate, I heard from nine of them, and we all believe in the law. We believe that we have to follow the immigration law. In other words, illegal is a rough situation. But when you have asylum seekers that are actually being transported from U.S. Customs, Border Patrol, and federal agencies to your city, you have no choice. You have to take care of them. I mean, these are families. These are children. They're hungry. They need clothing. They need shelter. I think Las Cruces had no other choice but take care of them. But what we need to do is we probably need to write a lot of letters and really talk to Congress that the immigration needs to be fixed. You know that.
Okay.
I mean, that's a very simple answer.
It needs to be fixed, but I don't think it's a simple solution.
Yeah. No, it's not a simple solution, but it really is a simple request. Fix it. Stop all the pettiness. Stop all the hate and anger. And really get down to work to take care of these people. You know, 8 years at the border, I actually witnessed what illegal crossings not only did to the cities and to the cities that were impacted, like El Paso, Las Cruces, but I could actually physically see the impact it did to the children, to the immigrants that were coming across, whether it was El Salvador, whether it was Honduras, it didn't matter. In other words, Mexico. I actually watched the faces of people that were being, you know, actually maybe persecuted, thrown out, hungry, and here they were being actually exploited, Ernesto. They were being told to cross the border illegally, and they really had nowhere to go. So I think the impact and the disasters that occurred for everyone really needs to be looked at. I mean, it really needs to be examined, and it really needs to be assessed better, and there has to be better laws, definitely.
All right. I will say this, since this is something new we're trying with our Facebook Live, Logan is our producer, so he'll let me know if somebody has a question or they want to ask something on that. Well, we got a few more minutes so Logan will let me know that as well through our Facebook fan page live at Mesilla Valley News. We're here at Little Toad Creek and Brewery. We record every Thursday, and so far, okay, Logan? Okay, good. Just wanted to make sure. So, we want to get some more issues that are important to the city. You talk about you're seeing too many empty commercial spots. Now, there are some that would argue to say that that's also done because of the way people are shopping, consuming things. Soon, there's going to be a Sears that's empty inside the Mesilla Valley Mall because it's closing down. Sears blames Amazon and other things such. What is it going to take to get people into those commercial slots? Because obviously, that means money that goes into the city. What would you do, and how are you going to do that to bring that back?
Yeah, you know, I think the first thing is, you have to maintain and keep the surroundings on these abandoned buildings maintained. They have to look good. I mean, just that abandoned building across from Visitor Center. Would you look at that building with 8 foot, 6 foot weeds around it?
I'm getting used to seeing it. I'm not going to deny, but I'm not going to say it's not the only building that's there. There's a lot.
There's a lot of buildings, and they're not being maintained. They're not being kept up. There was a laundromat that closed, I think, on Missouri and El Paseo.
They're putting some new ones in there, though, last I saw.
Yeah, but they finished it. They painted it. They maintained it. It actually is empty for now until a new one goes in there, but it looks good. It looks like it can be actually put into a business immediately. So if we just went down through those streets and actually worked with the owners and had a better city for permitting. In other words, how difficult is it to get a permit to open a new business here? I hear it takes 8 months, 12 months. Why don't we allocate some of the monies that are being spent elsewhere in city? Maybe we're top heavy in administration. Why don't we take hundreds of thousands of dollars and actually have more inspectors? More inspectors, more people that are dealing with permits so that that process goes faster and maybe some of those empty buildings will be occupied.
What are you going to do to make Las Cruces competitive for getting contracts, bringing industry to this town? What can you do to do that?
Oh, I think just having the doors open for business, actually being a better city to approach the people that are coming in with a friendly attitude, with fast permitting, good process to get the permits done, and then a lot of collaboration. You know, I think our best-selling tool in Las Cruces is Doñana Community College for the film industry. We have the Spaceport. We have New Mexico State University. We have Arrowhead. We have Mavita. You know, get a collaboration of all these experts and companies. And then when somebody looks at Las Cruces, or there's a marketing for Las Cruces, whether it's the Economic Development Department of Las Cruces, whether it's the Economic Development Department of Mavita, why don't we put them all together, though, so that we're on the same page trying to get new businesses to come to Las Cruces?
A lot of businesses say minimum wage has been a problem, and that's going to be something that affects. A lot of people are concerned about minimum wage. It's at 10.10 right now. The state will be up to 9. In 2 years, the state will overpass the city of Las Cruces. If you're mayor, that'll be something you will have to deal with. What is your thoughts on having to deal with the minimum wage, with the state increase going to be more than what the city is expecting?
You know what? I think the city has done a good job. It looks like we're okay till 2022, Ernesto.
2022, which will be, if you were elected back again, that would mean it would be in your ballpark.
We come back, and then what you have to do is you have to work with the stakeholders. You have to work with, like, you, okay, great businesses. You have to work with the restaurant associations. You have to work with all the companies. And just like they made the very, I think it was cordial on both sides right now, going through 2022, just do that again. In other words, work with the people that will be impacted by a wage increase so that everyone has livable wages. The other thing we need to do is if we can attract companies why are we spending so much time on the minimum? We should be spending more time on the maximum pay. You know, we spend so much time on how little you make. Why don't we attract companies that pay really good wages? And maybe that would alleviate a lot of the time wasted on protecting people in minimum wage. We want livable, good wages for Las Cruces.
All right, speaking with Bill Matisse, I want to go to some more issues. Police violence has been something that has been brought up a lot. There was a task force that's been put together. Your thoughts on what you've seen in the last year with our police department? Our chief said that he was concerned that when the federal part was having a problem, couldn't keep border inspection stations open, it led to more crime. He's worried about the drug situation in this town. What are you thinking about doing since you want to create a safe town with the police department?
You know, I think when I go back to mentioning the pay scale, in other words, the city of Las Cruces went from number 2 paid for our police officers and our firefighters to number 13 and 11. We're not getting as many officers going into the academies. So right now, the police chief has mentioned to other candidates that we're about 30 to 35 officers short. They're the ones that deal with violence in the streets, the police department. So if we could have more patrols, we'd have more control. And then we have a good force in the schools. We're keeping cops in schools funded, both with federal and government subsidy. So we know that our children are safe in the high schools and other schools. So the violence can actually be maybe addressed in the schools? In other words, why can't we have counselors? Like, I don't know, maybe there's not enough counselors, would be the answer
to the question on that.
Yeah, maybe I'm aging myself, but I remember when we had counselors in the school. So when we had bullies, because, you know, bullies lead to aggression. Aggression leads to violence. Mm-hmm. And so maybe what we need to do is go down to the elementary schools, the high schools, and do a more collaborative effort of containing and addressing bullies in school, and explain to the kids that hate crimes and violence is not the way to go, and alleviate some of the gangs that are happening too in Las Cruces.
Do you feel, since you left, that the city council makes more decisions for city, like, for example, ranked choice voting, also Operation Stone Garden, than they are hearing public input for it? Do you feel that they have kind of gone a little rogue with making decisions on their own without consulting public knowledge or health or officials? I'll give you an example. Operation Stone Garden, the police officer had asked, the police chief had gone in front of the council, recommended that he keeps that money there to do it. But of course, there are some city councilors that feel, no, that that money is just being used to give a little more control to ICE and other parts. Your thoughts on what you saw in these city council votes?
No, I think you got the point. You hit the nail on the head. In other words, keep the appropriations for public safety with public safety. In other words, don't be moving it around as council decisions. You know, when I was mayor, we had a Mark Sutter that was in charge, and Dr. Sutter with the finance department, we call them cookie jars. You don't raid $700,000, let's say, from the vehicle acquisition fund for police cars and put it toward another endeavor. So I think what is ever allocated for, let's say, Stone Garden, and also what's allocated for police patrol, it may be neighborhood bicycling, actually follow through and get it done where the money was dedicated. Same with bond issues. I mean, bond issues have to be dedicated. They have to be specific. And when a bond issue says we're going to improve soccer fields, improve the soccer fields.
Don't use the money for anything else.
Don't use it for anything else.
The city, some members of the city council are hoping that the city can create its own emergency ambulance system, get away of its contract with the county from
AMR.
Your thoughts on what would happen there?
You know, what I heard, and again, this is secondhand, but when the fireman talks to me, I believe them. They're just really good character. And so basically what happens is when we get the 911 calls, right,
mm-hmm.
our fire department is actually getting there before anybody else. Most of the time, our fire department is there for that call, whether it be a senior citizen, whether it be somebody that fell, whether it be somebody having a heart attack. And our fire department doesn't receive any compensation for that call, Ernesto. It all goes to AMR. So I think they need to sit down with our fire department. Our fire department, if they're qualified and it's a fiscally sound program for them to take care of emergency and ambulance care, I would support that, because it's all one. It's our fire department, our EMTs, and ambulance service all wrapped up into one system. I think you would be better cared for the 911 call.
Well, I think the citizens, if you're talking about a safe city, want to make sure that emergency response crews are there timely and fast. And if it is the fire department beating the ambulance services, maybe that's a discussion, but I'm sure county will love to have a discussion with that too, something that you both joined together. Something as well that was brought up in front of the city council, there was members of the Pat Garrett Foundation, an historic group here in our town, that were pushing to get the road on Motel Boulevard changed to Pat Garrett Boulevard. They got approval through the NMDOT. They got approval through the county. Came to the city. The city voted no to it by city council members that voted for against that. Would you have gone with them on voting no against that, or would you prefer that they would have had their chance to make the change on that highway?
You know, again, when I sit on city council, I sat on city council as a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
I sat there as mayor. The people are in charge. In other words, my vote always went with the people. And so if it's stakeholders and they have a good justification, you can give them all the baloney you want to give them about it's going to cost too much money. But if you have a wave of citizens that prefer the historical name Pat Garrett, then go with it.
And so that would have been your vote to lean toward,
yes.
That way. Okay. There was a couple of council members that did vote for that, including the mayor, who said he wanted that as well, Greg Smith,
yep.
Too. The others chose not to. let's talk about the city council and the city as well. Currently, the city is conducting an investigation of a Friends of Las Cruces group for the Visit Las Cruces Foundation that saw the leaving of the one of the members, the person in charge of Visit Las Cruces, Jennifer Bales, and also the economic developer, Philip Sanfilippo. Your thoughts of what you saw on this, and what do you believe? Is this something that could be a black eye on the city, knowing that we have a Country Music Fest coming up this weekend, trying to keep things going? Obviously, when you hurt businesses that are affected by this, it makes a difference. Your thoughts on what you're seeing on and reading about on this situation?
You know, that's a really good question, because that came up after I actually put my hat in the ring, that all this administrative leave, I was wondering why the city manager got a $9,000 increase and then he resigns. And unfortunately, Ernesto, this city council has too many closed meetings. You know, I don't know if you remember, but I took my door off my office.
Mm-hmm.
I had an open door.
Yes, I remember the open door policy.
Yeah. I had an open door
policy. There
was
a question of when Ken got elected if that door would be put back. I remember that. Yes.
Exactly. No, I kept it off. I kept it off entirely till the very last day. But the other thing I try to keep down is closed meetings. Because closed meetings means I'll gag you, you gag me. You don't say anything negative about me, I won't say anything negative about you. And I think that's what's going on right now. Because no one knows why the administrative leaves. No one knows why the city manager abruptly resigned. And I think when you have that lack of trust and you don't have total transparency, that's not really a healthy governance. That really isn't. You got to go out there, and if you do something wrong, or something is not really totally appropriate, you need to share that with the public. And so I think whatever they have done in going to an Albuquerque forensic audit, when they had their own internal auditor, I mean, we have our own. We have a budgeted internal auditor. It should have been done internally. We could have saved all that money. You know, they talk about, we would have spent money for Pat Garrett, you know, more money for signage. But now they're spending upwards of $100,000 plus on a forensic audit coming out of Albuquerque, when we could have done an internal audit and probably came up with the same results and could have been transparent and could have actually disclosed everything before the election. The other thing that bothered me is, why are we waiting till November 30th, Ernesto? Why are we waiting till after the election to tell people what went on there?
Okay, and November 30th, how is this? How do you know there will be something on November 30th?
Exactly. That's the tentative date.
Okay, tentative date. And this
for
is
the conclusion.
For the conclusion, and this is from the city, right, that they released
from the city. Okay. From Albuquerque.
From Albuquerque. From the firm in Albuquerque or from the city? Because I haven't heard anything from the city
Their summary and their results are given to the city on November 30th.
Okay. Wanted to get through that. I want to get to just a couple more quick questions for you. Obviously, when you ran, it was a simple race. You put your name in, you vote, and that's what it is. This is the first time I think I've never seen 10 candidates run for mayor on a system that I had my daughter read the pamphlet on, and she still was a little confused about it. And was still trying to figure it out. She said, this is the burrito win, Dad, or is it the tamale win? Which I don't even want to ask what you are, as a burrito, tamale, or whatever you felt like.
I'm the gold burrito.
But what is your thoughts of ranked choice voting, and how is this affecting your campaign?
You know, that horse is out of the barn, and I hope it works well. But I have to give kudos to this Amanda Lopez, the county
clerk. Dr. Amanda Lopez asking?
Excellent. I mean, I really trust her. I believe she's controlling the absentee ballots that are given out. I think she's going to control the voting at the different locations so that they're turned in on time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the ranking of candidates, and it's kind of like a weighted vote, it may be good for the public, but it should have been, you know, what you're doing today. Why couldn't they go to you back in February, March, April, May? I mean, why wait 30 days out from an election to where people are going into these voting locations and coming out very confused? It was on KVIA. I think there was some comments on your state. People are a little bit confused and surprised. And so why do you have surprises, again, for the voters? If it was a referendum, Ernesto, let's say it was a referendum, the voters would have knew about it and voted yes or no on it 8-9 months ago.
Yes. Yeah. No, so, that's a good point.
Yeah, and so you would have had months and months and months of whether or not they wanted it or didn't want it. But if they did elect it and they wanted it, you would have had a lot more education and awareness of this ranked choice voting.
From everything you've been saying, is it safe to say, and you'll make the statement here, that if elected, you will expect to see more votes not handled by city council, but more through the constituents that the city council representatives are, and more hopefully put, even if it means putting on ballot or hearing conversations more?
Absolutely. You know, when we did the X Prize to bring the spaceport to Tier C, we did a huge X Prize over at the airport. I think it was Richard Haas and I were chairman. And we brought about 20,000 people in to actually the vision of Richard Branson. And what we did is we put that, remember the spaceport referendum?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't vote on it. We didn't say we're going to raise your gross receipts tax. Council didn't do that. We put it to a referendum. We asked the people of Doñana County vote on the spaceport. And then I believe Sierra County did it. And so I think by having the people vote on something, I think it's a better results, and also people understand what's going on.
All right. I'm going to give you the final say. Why should people vote for you on Election Day?
You know, I think the strength of Bill Mattis, I think my strength is experience. In other words, I was there. I was a counselor. I was a mayor. And I do get a lot of comments that it was a good mayorship. There were no scandals, nothing bad. We built the budget up. I don't know if the public remembers this, but we tried to buy El Paso Electric Company. We were almost bankrupt. We turned that around, and I left the present mayor with almost $15 million in surplus. So fiscally, I'm good. Experience-wise, I'm good. And I'm one hell of a salesman when it comes to selling a good city. And Las Cruces is a good city with good people in it. Thank you.
All right. Bill Mattis, thank you so much for joining us. A pleasure joining you here, and we'll see you. Good luck on your campaign and race. And we want to thank you for listening to Let's Talk Las Cruces, a division of Mesilla Valley News. Our guest brought to you by our friends over American Document Services at 300 North 17th Street. And, of course, we're here at Little Toad Creek and Brewery. Kitchen's waiting for you. The nice, cold, refreshing beverages are waiting for you. A happy hour that's gone down to 3 to 6 is always waiting for you as well here at Little Toad Creek and Brewery, 119 North Main Street.